Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
I only ever loved you girls. I did my best to make sure you would succeed, to achieve your fullest potential, and everything worked out.
Everything worked out?
Yes. For you, yes. You both have killed so many people. Your ledgers must be dripping, just gushing red. I couldn't be more proud of you.
Hello and welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities from Marvel Comics to their MCU counterparts. And we're your hosts, Jeffrey
and Di.
Hello. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
My ankle is better.
Yay! Jeff was experiencing some terrible.
Because when I recorded last, I was pretty much near on my deathbed.
Quite literally could not walk.
And then now I was walking up Di's stairs like
new
I was
man.
Like on a Stairmaster at the gym.
That's good.
But yeah.
Two long weeks of having
we're in a better place.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Good deal. Yeah.
My mindset is better. My mind has been all over place the last 2 weeks.
Amen on there. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I mean, some good stuff coming up. We're gonna chat some fun topics right now, actually. Woo. So I wanted to open with that Russell Dodderman. Russell Dodderman, again, I've talked about him at length in many of our episodes, but he is a man much to thank for things like the Hellfire Gala for the X-Men, as well as Jane. The Mighty Thor artwork. And so anyway, Russell is releasing this incredible art book, The Art of Russell Dodderman, on Kickstarter first, and it's running through the end of May. So if you haven't yet and you'd like to back him, he has some wonderful add-ons from Hellfire Gala, speaking of, as well as X-Men trading cards that he designed. Everything's fantastic. I definitely backed him day one. I'm pretty sure he's at 500% now.
Damn.
He hit it the first day, which is absolutely
amazing. That's crazy, yeah.
He definitely has a fan base. So go check that out on Kickstarter. Once again, end of May. He's got good posters, everything you want, he's got it. So go back the man. He is very deserving of all the support. And in not related, but awesome news, Moon Knight and Falcon and the Winter Soldier are officially available to own. I got my copy of the latter.
I have not
opened it. Did you watch the bloopers and stuff for all these?
No, not yet. I haven't seen it pop up, honestly.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No.
I've seen both pop up. I haven't watched either because I was like, I'm going to wait till I can watch it on my TV here.
Fair.
So I'm going to do that. But they're all available. So get you some of those. And so before we veer into X-Men territory, because, you know, we start going off the rails when we start talking about X-Men now, which I love
every time.
I'm living for it. Spider-Man Mondays are continuing. I just finished the first trilogy as of this Monday. So, man,
you're halfway there.
I know. I was like, ooh, Andrew Garfield next. But yeah, you know, like rewatching them in the theaters. I think I already mentioned about number one, but number two, I mean, goated. Like, they're that excellent film. But it did remind me of how much I don't like Mary Jane.
Yeah.
But
were people going crazy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, not like that tweet.
That guy that lit like a firework in the theater. Yeah.
That's actually insane. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but apparently during Spider-Man 3, during the climax of the film where, spoiler alert, Harry Osborn comes
and saves, helps Peter. Yeah.
As Green Goblin to help Peter save MJ and fight against Venom. And Sandman, and somebody set off fireworks, which is so how did it not immediately catch on fire the entire theater? I don't understand. But rewatching Spider-Man 3 in particular, I was like, here we go. This is not the greatest Spider-Man movie that has ever come out.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty hard. It's pretty rough.
It's a lot going on in that one.
In all honesty, it wasn't as bad as I kind of remembered it being.
Yeah.
But it is chock full of moments where awkward humor is happening. So people were like, I think there was a few people in that theater who had never seen it before. Clearly had never seen it before, but they're Spider-Man fans in some capacity.
Really?
And I just heard these people like laughing, like, what? Like they would yeah,
like the jokes don't land.
The jokes do not land.
Yeah, they may have in 2007, but yes, definitely not in 2024.
No, and so like some of the it is kind of like a weird dark satire in its own weird way.
It is. I remember that movie being a little darker,
yes,
than usual in tone, his suit and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and so it did resonate a bit better than I remember, and they didn't vilify Gwen as much as I recalled they did, because they still kept her pretty like nice. But I like MJ best in that film. But
that's what people were saying on Twitter, because they were saying like they reposted a scene, and they're like yeah, the more you watch this, mm-hmm, it's more, the more you realize like Peter's a horrible partner.
Yes, they're very bad.
Yeah,
they're both very bad to each other, and you finally get the depth of it in the third movie, because in the first two it's like he's really into her and she's like whatever, but at this point he has now switched places with her because he is popular and he knows what it's, and
they
he keeps talking about himself. Yeah. And
they,
I'm like, ew, Peter. But yeah, I liked her. I like Kirsten Dunst a lot better in that film, unfortunately, because it's like she's like sad and depressed and mean the entire time, but I mean she was great at that.
You know what makes me cringe in that movie every time I watch it?
What?
It's when he has a symbiote, right?
Yeah.
And he's on the phone at his apartment.
Oh yes.
And that girl.
Yeah,
that,
the
whatever,
girl is feeding her.
Yeah. Like he's like,
I forgot her.
And he's like, oh, you have any milk? He's like, oh, I don't have any milk. I was like, could you get me some? She's like, oh yeah. And I was like, oh my god, this is so.
It's so.
Ah!
Oh yeah, he's like, do you have? Oh, she's like, he's like, what kind of cookies are those? And she's like, chocolate chip. And he goes, do you have any nuts? And she's like, oh, I have nuts.
I can make some.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God. That's what it is.
What is happening? Yeah.
Dude.
He does ask her for milk on top of that. So it's like, bro, what is this scene?
You'll get this red when you fix this damn door.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All of them. Every single one of those things.
Oh, my God.
When it popped up, the dancing, like everything. Everybody was like, oh, my God. But
it's
so good and so bad, but it's not as bad
as people think it is.
Yeah, it is good, but it's really bad for
me with X-Men Apocalypse
movie. Yeah, exactly. It's probably above that, but it's still
100%.
It's in a weird territory of oh dear. Sam Raimi, what's going on? But yeah, so next up, Amazing Spider-Man 1 and then 2, of course, and then we veer off into Tom Holland land.
Oof.
But I'm excited. So yeah, they ran out of posters before I even got... I was pretty sure I was the first person for that.
Was it a
screening.
Packed house?
Yeah, it was like maybe 75.
Okay.
But I think they had earlier screenings, and so maybe Sony only sent them 25.
Sure.
And they were all gone before 6 o'clock.
Of course.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, boo! But it's fine. So I have 1 and 2, which is great. But yeah, so we'll see how Amazing Spider-Man number 1 resonates. I'm sure I'm going to love it, because I'm like, immediately was thinking back, I was like, Gwen is, I'm sorry, but I love Zendaya, but Gwen is the goat out of those
love
interests, like,
no, she's great.
She's great. So now we can veer off into our X-Men talk very quickly as humanly possible. So first up, they have announced an incredible X-Men Airbnb
partnership this morning too when you sent it to me.
Yes, in New York. Newcastle, I believe.
I'm assuming it's Uptown New York? Upstate New York?
Upstate New York, because you know the X-Men themselves, I remember this by memory, 1407 Westchester. Oh, Grey Malkin Lane in Westchester. So I'm sure, because they have the emblem in the front and stuff. Pretty cool. 2D looking. I mean,
it looks crazy.
It looks great.
The Sentinel
looks
head in the front.
Cool. But I tweeted it in something that AJ had posted, but there is a list of accommodations and things you get to do.
Ah.
So you can go in through every room. You obviously get to stay however many nights, but during, I think, your first and last night, You get to take a quote unquote school photo or class photo. You get a diploma.
Uh-huh.
And then at the, you even get breakfast of beignets, quote unquote,
wow,
made by Gambit. I was like, I'm sorry, what? So it's not just a place that you go snooze.
Yeah.
You can actually have an
do
experience.
Things, yeah.
So,
can you go into Cerebro?
Yes. There,
oh my God.
Did you not know this?
I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
No, it's
but.
It's a two story house, mini mansion. And so there is a Cerebro room. There's a danger room, quote unquote.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a workout room. And they have the bedrooms, and then there's the study, the grand foyer. All of it is there.
Wow.
So I was like, dude. And so, yeah, it's not just your usual Airbnb book and go. You have to fill out your entire profile. Everything has to be filled out.
Yeah.
Picture, name, date of birth, everything.
Sure.
You have to list interests. You have to put your name in the lottery, essentially.
Yeah.
And the dates are through June. So they're closing off submissions on May 14th. So if you're listening to this and it's not May 14th and you're interested, go to Airbnb, try and sign up now because they're going to cut it off. And quote unquote, in entrants will be contacted on May 25th.
Wow.
For their ability to finalize their booking and visit the Xavier Mansion.
Jeez.
Through June. Yeah. So we'll see if your girl gets chosen.
That would be insane.
And if she'll be in further debt than she already is. But I would, again, I told Jeff this before we started recording. I would absolutely do what I can to go.
I mean, if there's one thing you would want to do, it's that.
And they also, need I mention, they also ask you, why do you want to come? So you have to write. I only did two paragraphs, so short and sweet. They're not going to read an essay. So I made it very short and sweet. And my last line was like, heck, I don't even know if I can get anybody to come with me, but I'll be there with bells on. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm just alone, like, I'll be alone. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's otherwise $97 a person per night. So,
dude, that's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. I was like, okay, let's go. So pretty cool. And related but not related, quick reactions to 7 and 8. We're going to talk about the entire season after the finale, but yeah, 7 and 8 thoughts.
They're beefing up.
I was telling my coworker.
They're beefing
today,
up.
I was telling he hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah,
he's last off on 6. And
oh
he's
wow!
Like, yeah, I'm gonna catch up tonight. I said, oh great. And I said, let me tell you, man, I consider myself incredibly well versed in this lore, and even I am like, what are they gonna do?
Really?
You have no idea
what's going to happen?
No, because even with Bo DeMeo like saying, read these comics, I'm like, yeah, I see it. I immediately know what it is. And I'm like, what are you planning to do? Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Like,
I
have no idea. Like, because of the show, I know kind of a basis of most of those people.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know Bastion.
Oh,
I don't.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. I don't know. I don't know that lore.
Crazy.
And I don't know how powerful he is. But now we know.
Now you know. Yeah.
Now we know. But
yeah.
But I'm also like, okay.
There's so many.
Okay, spoiler alert, Charles is back.
Yeah.
But also like, okay, what's going to happen after this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are the exactly government right. run Avengers going to, losers? Losers. I texted this to Di, like when that episode came out with Rogue throwing Cap's shield.
Oh, so funny.
I was just like.
So good.
These Avengers are a bunch of, I'm not believing this. They're a bunch of pussies. Like what?
I have to do this by the book, Rogue.
Well, if you don't, that means you don't need this anymore. Launches, and I was like, oh yeah. She was like, yeah, go get it then, loser.
Exactly. And yeah, I said this to Jeff. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like again, because every week there's a new episode. In the back of my head, I am obviously reacting. I'm absorbing this content. I'm like, oh my God, living my life, my best life. But there's a part of me that goes, oh my God, Jeff is watching this and going like, whoa, what is happening? And also like the fact that you're learning and understanding, like finally.
I mean,
even when they
killed Gyrick,
so
I was like,
wild, yeah.
I was like, what? They're just going to.
Yeah, they just killed. Like, the what? X-Men don't play. But yeah, it's interesting to have come from that childhood of like, Avengers.
I get it now.
Because they were so, the X-Men are so pivotal in what they were doing. And so it was a surprise that, you know, of course, speaking of Avengers, like Iron Man just celebrating its anniversary,
oh,
by
yeah.
the way, 20th anniversary, holy crap, that the sensationalization of Iron Man coming in and really introducing the Avengers in a way that everyone was like, indisputably, this is the best team, this is the best set of characters.
Yeah,
they're so good. Like, everybody was in love with the Avengers.
Yeah,
and it kind of forgot about the X-Men because the films weren't great.
Well, now I kind of see why in the 2000s starting yeah. they made those X-Men movies first.
Yes,
because they were the most mm-hmm. quote-unquote at the time well known
and well represented.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
yeah.
that's now that makes sense. And yeah. it wasn't up until obviously 2008
because yeah. you have to think, right? The original series went for 5 years.
Yeah.
Through 97.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, it's losing steam. What do we do now? Ah, backflip into the live action.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
so it makes sense.
Yeah, made absolute
yeah, and
sense.
Then, yeah. But then the Avengers, yeah, came yep. in 2008 or mm-hmm. 2012, but they started in 08. So yeah. now it's like, oh, now for me,
yeah.
now I'm like, oh, I see why.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so great. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're gonna do.
I don't know
and
what
every
do.
every show is so well written.
Yeah, it's insane.
I'm always
it's
like
so wild. I don't.
Damn.
Know. It's some like they're just the writer's room is so incredible.
I think my favorite part is also seeing just how powerful
mm-hmm.
like these Omega level like.
Yeah.
threats are because yeah. I never really was like, I was like, oh, I know they're powerful, but like how powerful? Like we saw Storm earlier in the season.
Yeah,
we're seeing more and more of Jean being like,
yeah.
oh yeah, this girl is psycho. Like this girl is
super,
a psychopath.
Yeah, and I love that she just casual callbacks to like I was possessed by the Phoenix Force. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can handle
and,
this. Like damn.
And okay. then seeing full power Magneto.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, we can do that.
Yeah.
Like around the whole world.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, well then, I don't know what kind of like war is going to be.
How do you even?
I was like, I don't know what kind of war is going to break out. And you have these advanced human sentinels and stuff.
Dude.
And I was like, that's pretty cool.
That entire sequence of them coming in, like again, the animation style, it's so visceral.
Good.
Like the Nightcrawler Wolverine scenes were incredible. Seeing what it's like as Nightcrawler, as a first person like perspective of the teleportation.
Yeah.
They've never done that.
Oh.
They've never
really
done that.
Nice.
No, they've always, like, Alan coming in X2, bouncing around, like, it's cool, it's slow motion.
But you don't get to see, like, what he sees, what
never,
they see when you're going through it.
Never.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to eat my words, but I'm pretty sure
yeah.
they have never done that.
I mean,
so
even
to see it from Logan's perspective.
Yeah,
too,
I think the one
like,
thing
wow.
that, like, I was like, what the, like, damn, like that. It was, and Jean looked at the childhood photo painting, drawing
yeah.
of Bastion, and yeah. she got his whole lore.
Yeah.
Just from that, I was like, you can just know his whole life just by, like,
yeah.
telemetry, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Telepathically just feeling
yeah.
the painting.
Yeah.
I was like, that's insane.
Yeah. Well, again, Omega level, you said it yourself, right? So it's just like, and then my boy Cable coming in, and not really
you
Cable
don't mess
so
with
much.
The Summers.
So good, I love it. But yeah, like the first, every time he finally speaks in an episode, I'm like, Gambit. Because I can hear it. You can hear it in his voice.
Mm.
He just doesn't
I'm
have
sure.
the accent.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, it's there. So, but it's so great to see the family and then, you know, all these things coming together. Very interested in what Logan does indeed mean with the war, because it's like, oh my god, one thing after another. If it's not with humans, it's with themselves, and it's like
there's two more,
and there's two episodes.
This is a three-part finale, which is insane.
Yeah, exactly right. So I can't even fathom how this is gonna end. There's a poll going around like, when do you think we'll see Gambit again? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Maybe we won't. Maybe we just see it's because of Gambit that Rogue flips her switch
yeah.
type of thing of like,
yeah,
you know what. He wouldn't want me to do this.
Yeah, I know, right?
And maybe so, she just, yeah, yeah.
He either comes back in the finale or he doesn't come back till next season. I think I said that already. And I've already accepted that. I will be unwell until that happens. But I have accepted it. And it's great because Beau DeMeo, very James Gunn mentality in that he's like, can't just reverse it. It,
yeah.
it loses the entire meaning.
Exactly.
It has to happen for a reason. So in the wise words of Jeffrey, they all need to die.
Kill them all, baby.
Kill everyone.
Kill them all.
With purpose.
Yeah, with purpose. And so related but not related, finally, the new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine dropped.
Speaking of
yeah,
everyone.
Of X-Men.
Killing them all.
Yeah. So things are officially warming up because I think it was last week was the trailer. And then,
I can't believe that was last week already.
I know, right? It's so
I watched
so
it 25
incredible.
Times.
Did you really?
It's around there.
Holy smokes. I literally
only It's also the song choice for me.
I mean, the song.
Yeah, Madonna's. Yeah.
When that first started, I was like, is this Madonna's Like a Prayer? And then I was like, oh, maybe not. Like, maybe it just sounds similar. And then it was actually Like a Prayer. I was like, oh, this
it's
is
so
incredible.
Good.
Fantastic.
It works perfectly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And all the Easter eggs already killing me. I can't wait to see how many of them.
The soft backstory that we got, that we're getting off of like why.
Yes.
Why Logan is in, you know.
And this Logan in particular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm interested to see like what happened in his world.
Yeah. I wonder how much they'll actually even show because all the X-Men are dead.
It's got to be at least 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
At least.
Woof.
It's going to be a two-hour. It's going to be a two-hour and 12. 10 to 18 minute movie.
Yeah. I hope so.
I think so.
I think that's a good sweet spot.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be 4 hours. Would love it, but it doesn't have
I even
to.
Think 2.5 is too long.
Yeah.
So I think two hours and 15 or 20 would be fine.
Great. Yeah. Super stoked. Very excited. And then today they just dropped the Empire covers.
Yep. Got more
new photo of Wolverine and Deadpool and Dogpool.
New info.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So things are warming up. Yeah. It's gonna
July can't come any sooner.
Yeah, and Dan, the original storyboard artist for X-Men 92, he had made a good point last week in that this movie is dropping during Comic-Con. So I'm
it's the
like,
weekend of Comic-Con?
What is the date again? Is
it July 26th?
Yes. It's the week of Comic-Con. So I'm like,
yeesh.
Woo, I don't know what's I mean, it's gonna be
Comic-Con's Friday to Sunday, right?
It is Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday's a preview
night.
Well,
I was going to say Wednesday previews.
It's going to be... Oh, because I've never showed you, and I might as well tell you, but I'll actually...
Wait, so we can't go to the fan event together?
I don't know, unless...
No!
If they even have one, though.
That's also true.
Because they might take all their resources to San Diego.
That's fair.
It's probably That's really fair. Exciting. But I'm looking forward to their promotional materials, because for Deadpool 1... I was like, what is the giveaway? Like, they're going to give something away, right? And
yeah.
I was like, looking, and I was like, I don't see nothing. I went to the restroom, Jeff. The toilet seat covers had Deadpool's face
That's
on them.
That's hilarious.
And I was like,
oh, so you're sitting on his face.
Stop, yeah. And I looked at it for a long, hard, and every time like somebody went to the stall, because they're all of them.
Yeah.
Every time somebody went into a stall, you just hear, what the?
Yeah.
I was staring at it, and I was like, I pulled one out, put it down, and I was like, I took like 10.
Oh my God.
I still have them. I still have them. Like perfectly. Like I put them in the bag
That's
so it's
hilarious.
Like clean and everything. So I still have them.
Yeah. This promo material is going to be so inappropriate.
Yeah, I know. And I can't remember what the second film was, but I'm sure I have it somewhere. So I'm, especially because it's Comic-Con, I'm like, dude, it's going to be so good. They're probably going to have the X-Mansion there. I'm going to bank on that. I have a feeling they'll take whatever they can from the Airbnb and bring it to Comic-Con.
Mm.
So that Sentinel Head is going to show up somewhere. But yeah, no, it's going to be a good summer.
Ah.
I'm so excited. But yeah, we'll find out about the fan event because yeah, that'd be, oh, God, that'd be so good. Or you just have to come to Comic-Con. I don't know. And so, yeah, so for this episode, we're going to veer out of all things Xavier and X-Men and Mutant and take it back to the territory of Black Widow with our latest character study. But before we get into that, of course, we're not experts and we don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out.
Woo!
And in this episode, we're going to nerd out over... You want to say it?
The Red Guardian.
So sorry. We apologized at the end of the last episode,
know,
but we're going to apologize now.
But
yeah,
it's so
sorry.
Good.
So sorry.
David Harbour is amazing.
He's amazing. Alexei Shostakov, aka indeed, the Red Guardian. So Alexei, created by Roy Thomas and John Buscema. Alexei, or at least Red Guardian's first appearance, is Avengers number 43, January 1967, in an issue or story titled Color Him, the Red Guardian.
Nice.
And so, 1967, Jeff, here's the cover, Avengers.
You zoomed in, didn't you?
I zoomed in?
Oh, for the cover price? Oh,
oh yeah, I covered the cover price.
Okay.
So,
67?
67. So, this is four years, 5 years after their debut, The Avengers.
67? All right. I'm going under 50 cents, obvi. That shit's obvi.
Yes.
I know it's more than 10. I want to say 15 cents.
Jeff?
No.
It is a solid.
It's 25. It's a quarter, huh?
12 cents.
Oh, my God.
You're right there, buddy.
It's always the 12 or the 15. Because like, remember I said 15 once, and yes. You were like, it's 12. And I was like, oh, okay, this one's 12. And you were like, it's 15. And I was like, I'm going to lose it.
I think it's safe to say that once it hits 68 to 70, that's when it starts to get into the 15 territory.
Noted. I'm making a mental note of that right now.
Mental note, his eyeballs are going everywhere. So a 12 cent issue. So the highest currently available short box, CGC 9.2. You could get Red Guardian's first appearance for $1,300. Or slide over to eBay for CGC 9.4 for $1,650. Still worth a pretty penny, all things considered. He's not the most popular character in the world. However, he's still going for a pretty good price. His lowest first appearance would be short box CGC 3.0 for $140.
My gosh.
Or even lower. You could get an eBay better quality CGC 5.5. The last one sold for $75. So
hey.
You go from that. I mean, again, if you want it, you want it. You can get it pretty cheap. But the fair market value for this book is anywhere between $48 to $72. Not too bad. Less than $100. That's
like not bad at all.
A pair and a half of shoes. Like that's pretty good if you love this character. I know exactly.
Maybe.
Which speaking of, and I forgot to mention, they mentioned quick veer back into X-Men world. They released Reebok or Adidas released Wolverine
Yes.
Your girl got
you
the
got
Gambits.
Them?
I got the Gambits. Yeah. And they were not $75. They were more than $75.
They always are.
But you could get a raw copy of this Avengers book for $18, but buyers be wary. There are reprints of this issue floating around. So there are facsimiles. Those only cost $2 to make, so don't get swindled. This goes without saying, because it's probably very close to the same for me. First exposure was Black Widow for the movie.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you if and when I even knew him before. I was familiar. I didn't know anything about him, but I knew that he existed.
Yeah.
And that he was Natasha's love interest at one point.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But
yeah.
Other than that, I was
weirdly,
like, okay.
Oddly enough.
Yeah, that's it. That's about it. So as a result of his non-popularity, he wasn't in the limelight in modern age as much. But I pulled the details off of a 2011 Upper Deck Marvel card for this guy. And so, Jeff, you tell me how much of this sounds remotely even familiar to what he was depicted in the film. A fighter pilot trained by the KGB to be the Soviet version of Captain America, husband to the Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff, and top secret Russian agent, Red Guardian has been assumed dead on many occasions, but always shows up where he's least expected.
I mean, obviously wrong.
I mean, you know, in its own way, it's kind of like, it sounds familiar, but not quite right compared to the movie.
Yeah.
We'll get into that very, very shortly. So in the comics, Alexei Andreevich Shostakov, they spell his name different. First and foremost, I think this was a typo maybe when he was first introduced. His name is spelled A-L-E-X-I at first, whereas predominantly more popularly now, it's A-L-E-X-E-I. Alexei,
okay.
Instead of Alexei, like Alexei, Alexei
sure.
Is Shostakov. Although Alexei himself doesn't appear until Avengers 43, the story more or less begins in issue number 41, as Natasha has gone missing after supposedly stealing this atomic plan, which is actually an American submarine.
Mm.
And so this is the point of the Avengers story. You got to remember, she's very freshly new to the team.
Uh-huh.
She's not even wearing what you would expect her to. She's clad. Like, tell me, if you saw this character, would you have been like, that's Natasha Romanoff? All black.
Oh my gosh.
Black fishnets.
Is that a cape?
A cape.
That's so weird.
Yeah, very strange version. I reviewing this, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that she wore that for a long time. But yeah, we talked about this a little bit, I think, in Iron Man as well as our Hawkeye episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she is essentially uncovered by the Avengers as a double spy, because she takes the plans and then runs back to her communist comrades. So, by the way, at this point in time, the Avengers themselves consisted of Captain America, Goliath, Hawkeye, he's not on there, Wasp, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, and Hercules.
Hercules, wow.
Which, by the way, your girl Scarlet Witch here, black hair and pink outfit, does not make any sense. I don't know what happened.
Pink.
I think they were still playing around with
sure. They're just trying to like, let's just try it out.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to remember, again, during the first initial years of the Avengers and more so Natasha's place in it all, she wasn't necessarily one to be trusted. Getting both Tony and Clint, speaking of, into trouble with her feminine wiles. So they were both crazy over her. Tony, not so much.
Okay.
But he was kind of like, oh, you know, he's a playboy, philanthropist, billionaire.
Of course.
So he was vying for attention one way or another. But Clint, on the other hand, was very much in love with this woman. My God. And I think we established in one of their episodes that it was almost like a pheromone sensitivity in a weird way. Not unlike Jessica Drew, but yeah. So Clint's head over heels over Natasha. In this case, however, Natasha had indeed been working as a double agent.
Of course.
But in the name of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Jeez.
Delivering the plans to the opposing side led by a man named Colonel Ling, a communist military leader. So although Natasha, you know, is beyond cunning and convincing, Ling and his colleagues see right through her games. They see it like she's playing them. And then they immediately entrap her in this contraption called the Psychotron, a machine that, quote unquote, fills the mind.
Psychotron is the most like 50s, 60s type name.
I will put you in my Psychotron. Like she says it, actually. She says it first verbally. She's like, oh my gosh, it's none other than the nightmarish Psychotron.
Oh, Black Widow, you've uncovered my plan.
That's how I actually imagine him sounding.
I bring you my Psychotron. Yes.
Exactly. Oh my God. And like she has this look of horror, like, oh, the Psychotron. It's
oh
like, guys.
My gosh.
Yeah, exactly. So it's depicted as a quote unquote, it fills the mind with sounds and images of a living nightmare.
That's a scarecrow. Yeah. Sorry. That's scarecrow.
Exactly it.
That's scarecrow's gas.
Basically hallucinations. Yeah. Nailed it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny.
Basically him. So whoever is like put into the situation, they start hallucinating. They see things that terrify them individually,
yeah.
Yet no one else sees anything.
Okay.
So very much like Scarecrow.
Yeah.
At least Cillian Murphy's version.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And so this is where the Avengers and Alexei converge, right? So Ling unveils Alexei as the Red Guardian. He unveils, the Guardian himself as the counterpart for Captain America. And he's like, this is my latest concoction, the Red Guardian.
You seem to have activated my trap card. Yeah,
exactly. That's very much so. Oh my God. I'm just going to have you read this entire thing. It's so funny. Oh my gosh. And so of course, chaos ensues and Hawkeye is later captured because he can't help himself. He's like, I have to go save Natasha.
Yeah, all he has is arrows.
I know. It's like, bro, what are you doing here? And so he gets caught and he's right next to Natasha in this cell. And then Red Guardian is like literally sitting there next to them. And he's like, great, we have you both. I'm waiting for Captain America. That was borderline French, but...
So I was going to say.
He's literally sitting there.
Oh, Captain America.
Captain America.
Wee wee.
I cannot wait for you to come here. Oh, just wait till we get our Gambit episode is on.
I'm not even going to try that.
Wait.
I can't.
I could teach a philosophical course on how to speak.
I think the
Gambit.
One thing I can say is mon ami.
Mon ami.
That's it.
Ma petite. Anyway, so almost immediately after Alexei reveals his true identity. So you have to remember, when he's introduced, he's got this mask on. You can't really tell who he is. And so he's like, I'm Red Guardian. And so Natasha's like, oh, you know, she's trying to fight against him and be like, just let us go. You don't blah, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, don't you remember me, my dear wife? It is I. And then he takes off his mask.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. It's like the face again. I hear like
it's a that 50s housewife yes! gasp, dude. Yes! Like,
oh my gosh.
And her hands are like, oh no. It can't be.
So horrible.
Alexi. And so, yeah. So he reveals his identity. And she's like, oh my God. And Clint is like, I don't get it. And she then is like, oh, you know, because he keeps calling her my love.
Yeah.
My love.
Yeah, and my love.
Yeah, there you go. And she's like, oh, it's my husband from long ago. And Hawkeye's like, oh, damn. And then he realizes very quickly, he's like, oh, well, what is this? And what does any of this matter? Why did I get myself captured?
Yeah.
She's married. And he gets all depressive. So the story continues in the next issue. So this, again, is 4 issues worth of storytelling. Cap finally arrives on the scene with the rest of the Avengers, just as expected, and then he and Red Guardian go toe-to-toe. And the crazy thing is that the Guardian holds his own. He holds his own totally. Like, Cap is doing very well,
yeah.
Obviously. He's left, right, pow, bang.
Yes.
And Alexi starts to catch up with him. He's dodging him. He's actually getting throws in and punches in. And then it's then when Ling tries to rig the fight. He's like, oh, Red Guardian is doing so well. And so he turns on this electrified, like, floor panel. Mm-hmm. And then immediately Alexi's like, no, I will fight him equally. I will win. I am the Red Guardian. You're like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want the fight to be thrown. He wants equal fight.
He wants to prove himself.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Right. And so meanwhile, you know, they're having this debate, and Ling is quite literally like, no, I can't let you lose against Captain America. And he's like, no, I want to win, but I'm going to win by myself.
Yeah.
And so Natasha's off. She's escaped the pod now. She's trying to blow up the Psychotron. And then Ling catches her, and he's like, no, you can't destroy what I've built. And then he tries to kill Nat, which of course, Red Guardian leaps in, takes the shot. We've seen this many times.
Oh, wow.
So he gets shot instead. And then the Avengers assemble. They do what they do best. They assemble. And then as the building is starting to collapse and catch fire, because the minute he shoots, everything goes haywire. So
of
things
course.
Start exploding. This yep. is every trope.
Oh, yeah.
Every trope. So the Avengers sweep in. They escape while they can. And in the end, Red Guardian gave his life to defend Cap. So Ling then, you know, in this whole process, you know, Cap is trying to ensure the safety of Nat, ensure mm-hmm. the safety of everybody escaping. And Ling is about to use this gigantic ray. So first he uses a small gun.
Yeah.
And then he comes out again with a larger gun, and it's like a laser cannon.
Yeah.
Tries to shoot Cap. Red Guardian jumps into, I think he jumps into Ling. Ling shoots the Psychotron. The Psychotron explodes.
No, my life's work. My life's work. No.
The Psychotron. This,
next week, find out about the Psychotron.
Exactly. What a time to be alive. So yeah, so this entire thing, you know, like he gave his life to defend Cap, and then all is lost in the rubble as the Avengers safely escape. And so it isn't until about halfway through issue 44 that you finally get the depth of Alexi's true story through Nat. So all this time, he just introduces Alexi, husband, Red Guardian, and that's it. You don't know anything about who, why, yeah. where. And so in recollection, you know, Nat's just like kind of distraught. And she's like, oh, you know, he was my husband. And she explains to the Avengers that he was a famous test pilot for the Soviet Union. And so the two, before she became Black Widow and before he became Red Guardian, they were just two semi-normal people. She was a famous ballerina.
Of course.
And then he was a famous test pilot, and then they got married. And so as he was away doing his job, the military comes to visit Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we're sorry, but your husband has been killed in combat. He was doing his job. He was a great man, blah, blah,
he
blah.
He died a great man and a great soldier.
Shoulder?
Soldad.
Soldad. Yes, that's right. Soldad. And so,
we are sorry for your loss. Yeah. No, my husband.
Oh my God, that's exactly what she says. She's like keeled over on like the, like on a table. She's like... And so she's like, quite honestly, like, he was so wonderful. What? I wish I could do something to be worthy of his memory. And so the soldier is then like, you know what? I think we could think of something. And then she enlists in the Red Room program.
Oh my God.
Yes.
She enlists because of what?
Yes. Exactly.
This is, oh my God.
So she starts her initial training.
This sounds toxic.
It's bad. To become the Black Widow, and unbeknownst to her, Alexei had never died in that original situation.
Yeah.
They had just taken him away to become the Red Guardian.
Mm.
And so she starts training.
A whole Bucky situation, huh?
Yeah, it's very similar to Bucky. And so, of course, this is the initial origin. They've since rewrote it and turned things around because, you know, as we covered in our Black Widow episode, for instance, things get spicy all around. There's a bunch of, like, deceit and manipulation. Like, it wasn't so black and white that she was just like, oh, my husband, I'll go train to be a killer.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where they left off in the original sense. We're not going to cover the rewrite. I wanted to keep it really pure.
My God.
Let's go. Yeah, but that's pretty much the origin of Red Guardian as far as that's concerned. And so he had, quote unquote, died again. So after he saved Captain America, he is then, you know, he goes away for a few more years. He comes back, another revival.
Mm.
And then, you know, he wasn't more prominent again until this very modern era, of course, well-timed with the film.
Yeah.
And then now he's basically got a new lease on life as a flourishing character that people actually recognize thanks to the film. And he's also in cartoons, and we'll talk about that stuff later. But yes, in the film, Alexei Alenovich Shostakov. So he has a slightly different name. Originally, he was Andreevich Shostakov. Now he is Alexei Alenovich Shostakov. And also Ivanovich as well. So a lot of Iviches. And of course, yes, as Jeffrey mentioned, portrayed by the great David Harbour. First and last scene in 2021's Black Widow, directed by Kate Shortland. I can't believe it's 2021.
Wow.
And I wrote it down here, worth mentioning, he will next be seen in What If Season 3.
Yes.
And more importantly, 2025's Thunderbolts, directed by Jake Shearer, which is due out essentially a year from this week.
Oh, wow.
It's already countdown. We're already in go time, which is so wild to me.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, so let's discuss the film a bit. So we more or less get the vibe that somewhere during the Cold War in 1947 through 1991, somewhere in that vein, Alexei joined the Soviet armed forces, becoming the sole recipient of their recreated super soldier serum. So that's the one huge stark contrast between the original comic book lore and this movie.
There was no like serum. It was just like a big dude.
A big dude who could fight and actually...
Yeah.
Yeah. So his KGB training made him formidable enough that he didn't initially need the super serum in the comics. Whereas in the film, they're very clear, like, he's the one and only recipient of this Russian version that they tried to emulate.
It's probably not as good.
Probably not.
Does
as
the
good.
Job, but it's probably like, it's not
right.
The serum.
Right, exactly. And so they branded him the communist Captain America.
Yikes.
Of course, we do get a Hail Hydra cap at some point.
Yeah.
And then, in the modern day, Black Widow, of course, takes place during spring-summer 2016, documenting the events between the 25 years. So in the films, Alexei was assigned this three-year pretend marriage with Melina Vostokov. And then they adopted two young girls who later become, of course, Natasha Romanoff and Yelena Belova. And then Melina and Alexei destroyed the Hydra-occupied North Institute within S.H.I.E.L.D. That whole, my goodness, that entire action sequence was so cool because it was like legit like spy family. Spy family vibes.
Yeah.
David Harbour just not pulling punches, shooting like a pro, riding on the side of a plane. And then they all fled to Cuba, where the family was then pulled apart in a very distraught way. I hate that scene so much. It's so sad. And then, Dreykov, you get the idea that Dreykov and Alexei have been in cahoots because, of course, they're both working for the government. And then Dreykov's favoritism of Alexei diminishes somewhere between after the Cuba incident, and then he's thrown into the Seventh Circle prison because apparently he was criticizing the government.
Of course.
The government.
As one does.
Yeah. And then he's bailed out by Natasha and Yelena, and then the rest is history. So, thoughts on David Harbour as Red Guardian?
I mean, he's so funny.
He's so funny. He's such a great...
So charismatic.
Yeah.
Brought a lot of, like... I mean, it's like you can see, like, this, like a the difference. Like they tried to make him the Russian Captain America.
Absolutely.
And you can see, like, just how absolutely different, like, they are.
He has, like, a tattoo of himself on his back.
Like, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But I think he did... He did good. I mean, I can't really be a judge, but I'm just like, I enjoyed it. Like, yeah. I love the family dynamic.
I think Black Widow overall is just underrated.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It isn't. No, no.
No, loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said to Jeff as we were about to record that in preparation for this, because I fully intended to rewatch Black Widow and I couldn't get myself in the mental headspace to do so. Yeah, yeah,
it's a lot.
I've been kind of stuck in not only like crippling adult stress, but also like I finished Fallout. I watched Baby Reindeer. Did you watch? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen all the promotions for it.
It's a little stressful, but it's really funny. All but right. It's very stressful. And then, of course, I'm almost finishing Shogun. So my brain is like...
Yeah,
it doesn't know where to go, so I couldn't quite get into watching Black Widow, but I did look up the Alexei
best Alexei
chaotic
moments.
Videos. Yeah, and so of course the my favorite type of video, at least when recapping some of these characters, is those ones that have the Wii music from Nintendo. Yes,
they're like, so funny.
They're so funny. Yes. The comedic timing is everything
so
for those
funny.
Films, for those videos. Yeah, so I watched like quite a few of Alexei, and there's one that's like 4.5 minutes long, and it has all that stuff, and it bounces back and forth, and David Harbour, yes, is so, he's so funny because he's clumsy, yet he's well composed.
Yeah.
He's so all over the place, but he's also so calculated.
Yeah.
And you get to see so much of this character in that film alone. That's like, dang, dude. Like, you feel like you've seen him everywhere else, but that's literally the only thing we've ever seen him in.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
so. We get a good grasp of the character. So, I enjoyed that version a lot. Because although I hadn't been as seasoned in his background, his comic book background, when he was first announced and it was first announcing... he's their dad. I was like, what? Because I was like, wait, what?
That's not right.
That's like almost as if, imagine if they were like, Bucky Barnes is going to become the Winter Soldier and also he's going to be Natasha's dad.
Yeah.
Almost the same level of like,
what?
Yeah. And so when they started revealing all these things and that Yelena was more of a sister model than she was sort of like an equal or even, you know, quote unquote romantic interest for Natasha. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But the way that all four actors came together, or should I say like six really, because the children, which by the way, of course, a reminder, Mila Jovovich's daughter portrays Natasha as a child. And what's her name? I forgot her name. Violet, I believe. Violet McGraw is young Yelena. They all do an incredible job of really selling the family, selling the spies, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I loved David. And I'm glad to see that he's still kind of on board with everything else. And he's clearly filming. I don't know if he's filming yet, but he will be filming Thunderbolt shortly because I think he's finishing up Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So who knows if like they're... Either or maybe they're filming in the same like area. They both film. They're both filming in Atlanta.
Can you imagine, like having to go?
That would be insane, though. Like imagine,
headspace.
Yeah.
Speaking of headspace, like
I mean, well, he's playing two fathers.
That is also true. Yeah, exactly.
One's just heavily tattooed Russian man.
Exactly. So I'm curious. What's gonna happen to Red Guardian come Thunderbolts?
Yeah.
And how has his relationship with Yelena been all this time? Because she did leave. At the end of Black Widow, she left with Milena and Alexei. So
yes,
you have to you have to wonder. Yeah, you have to think about it. And you're like, oh, so she was all that time. We do see her in Hawkeye like doing her own thing.
Yeah.
But maybe she was still in contact with Alexei and Milena somehow, you know?
Like, maybe.
What were they all doing? But yeah, so yeah, I'm curious. Do you have any... I mean, we can talk about this later, really. But yeah, we can move on. I guess his connections with all these characters, of course, we're going to evaluate a little more as we go along. But if you scroll down, Jeff, we get a good look of his aesthetic. Oh, how dare I? I scrolled right past our pop quiz.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's fine. It's just a pop quiz to have a pop quiz, really. But let's have a little fun here. So, technically, 11 people have been at the helm of Captain America's shield in the comics. Can you take a guess of how many have taken on the Red Guardian mantle?
Oh, my gosh.
So you can ballpark it. But if Captain America has, say, 11 iterations in the comics, how many do you think Red Guardian does?
Damn, he does? 11?
Yeah.
Like, 11 different people have taken on
right
Captain America.
Right off the bat?
Yeah.
Cap?
Yeah.
Peggy? Bucky? Sam?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Five to seven.
Ooh, Jeff.
Yeah?
Seven.
Yeah.
Well done.
I got the range, baby.
Literally, yeah. So seven.
That's not bad.
Seven, you, depending on where you look at your sources and who you're actually comparing it to, it could be eight, it could be nine, but I'm going with seven. So seven primary individuals have taken on the helm of Red Guardian in the comics, including Alexei Lebedev. The very first one. This is a golden age version of the character.
Okay.
And then this is technically Alexei is the second, but you know, whatever. And then there was Dr. Tanya Belinsky, Josef Petkus, Krasno Granitsky, Anton Ivanov, and Nikolai Krylenko. In that order.
Okay.
So yeah, those are all the Red Guardians, but he is currently the Red Guardian in the comics. He is back better than ever, his own person, fighting the good fight. So now we can go into the aesthetics. And yeah, there are four versions that you can pretty much see, including the MCU version, Jeff. And so the first one is the one that we saw on the cover of the comic book.
Yeah.
Mostly red. Of course, you kind of think about it, considering the shading, it could be a black top with black underwear.
Oh, fair.
And then red, but red star and a white belt. Everything else is all red. And then he kind of moves forward into a very almost literal Captain America outfit, just red and white.
Yeah.
And he does have a notable fin on his helmet. So they disregarded this in the MCU. They were like, no, we're not that. But they gave him the swashbuckling boots and the big gloves and stuff. And then, of course, the more modern version that you see on the third is a black and red version. He does have a star, but he's not as heavily representing Russia as he was in the first two.
Yeah.
And he does have the beard. You see that this is probably around the same time as David Harbour because of the likeness, which you see next to that. So they've kind of more or less stayed in the ballpark of
the
real
much.
Version.
Not much. Yeah.
Yeah. What would it be in real life? And he's just got the...
You got a dad bod. Love it.
Dad bod.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Yeah, and his little helmet and the beard. So yeah. Much like his American counterpart, Red Guardian suit is modeled after his country's flag, bearing a costume fashioned in red and white. And while there appears to be black portions of the suit, it's mostly coloring. It depends on the color artists and the colorists themselves. But his modern suit did have the notable black, red, and silver-like aesthetic. And so far in the cinematic universe, we've only seen that one suit, which he notes is something that he kept on even while he was put away. So he left it at... Oh, Milena had his suit for him. At
yes.
the house.
Yeah.
And so that entire, speaking of funny scenes, that entire scene of Alexei putting the suit on in the bathroom was David Harbour's idea.
Oh.
And so I think they said it in the bonuses that there was quite literally, it's a real bathroom.
Yeah.
And they had one cameraman in there with him as he was struggling to get it on.
A dozen feet.
It's a little tighter than I remember. So that's all David Harbour magic in that one.
That's so good.
Yeah, and so credit to Jani Timaim and Lisa Lovis, the costume designers for the film. So from there, we can go to powers and paraphernalia. So in the comics, Alexei is indeed a superb athlete with remarkable agility, trained in many forms of hand-to-hand combat and martial arts by the KGB. And then similarly in the MCU, he is... got the same sort of combative skills, but like we mentioned just now, artificially enhanced physiology, including enhanced strength, durability, speed, agility, stamina, reflexes, and healing factor, thanks to the Super Soldier Serum. But yes, he's also an expert combatant, marksman, and spy with shield mastery, and he speaks various languages. So the version in the comic, although he was not initially pictured with a shield in the earlier days, he has this thing called a magnetic disc with all the iterations of his outfit. So if you see that circle that's on his belt buckle,
yeah,
he can pull it off and it's literally a disc.
And it expands?
No, It doesn't even expand. He can throw it and it goes bing, 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 and it comes back because it's magnetic.
Oh, okay.
Science, physics, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 60s,
Makes sense.
Yeah. And so... in the first version, it had the sickle and the hammer that's on the Russian flag.
Mm-hmm.
And so, similarly, Alexei's chest tattoo in the movie is the same emblem that they used to put on his comic book shield. So that's another set of Easter eggs, is that this was actually on the shield. And so, if he wasn't using something or whatever, they do refer to it back in, somehow, tattoos, for instance. Mm-hmm. He's got the Milena tattoo on his chest. He's got the Elena and Natasha one on his arm. And then, of course, the back tattoo with Red Guardian. So all these Easter eggs to the comic books as well, especially considering the one on his chest. From there, we'll go to family, friends, and affiliations. Speaking of the family. And so all of the people who might usually fit in this category are scattered all over. So we don't have that much to talk about in this specific section, but we will talk about a few zingers, including Yelena Belova.
Oh yeah,
White Widow in the comics. So the thing to remember is that once again, Alexei is Natasha's ex-husband in the comics. So his relationship with Yelena is immediately different by proxy. So they've been paired up in books as far back as 2020's Widowmakers and the 2021's Winter Guard. So this is kind of like, again, like he, like many characters that we've talked about, have their time in the spotlight. They get shoved back into the vault. Mm-hmm. They are not relevant until somebody decides, I'm going to write a story with this character again. And so Alexei himself indeed got pulled out of the vault, if you want to say, during 2020's Widowmakers. And so this is just before the film drops, of course. So they're like, how do we integrate this character back into the fold so that people will be like, oh, he's going to be in that movie, I'm going to watch it. Or I saw him in that movie, I'm going to go read the comic book. Widowmakers was a perfect segue because it not only further, it reintroduces Yelena in a way because, at this point in her time, she had become her own widow,
mm-hmm.
not so much the imposter syndrome version of Natasha anymore. But she then takes on this job and she bails Alexei out of this imprisonment that he was in. So they then team up and they sort of become teammates. They cross paths every now and then. They're not consistently with each other, but it is a very different dynamic than she being his daughter of sorts,
yeah.
Which of course she is in the MCU portrayed by the lovely Florence Pugh,
the best.
I can't wait to see her.
I know, she's so great.
She's so great. First seen in 2021's Black Widow, last seen in 2021's Hawkeye. Why did I think that Hawkeye was 2022? I thought it was 2022, but I guess it was December 2021,
yeah,
which is mind-blowing. So the film was only like six months
away. So it came out
away.
In the summer, yeah. Because, yeah, and then Hawkeye was like a Christmas series.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Right. I was like, holy cannoli.
The more you know.
So we haven't seen Yelena for 3 years.
It's been a while. Been a while. No. Oh, I was going to be like, what? No, no, no. It's been a while.
It's been a while since her post.
It's been
her
a
post
while.
Post is the only thing we've yeah. seen. I'm like, oh my goodness. So yeah. Okay. So I have it here, Jeff. You know the line.
Which
Let's
one?
Let's hear it.
Which one?
The Yelena part.
In the plane?
The plane. I'm just doing hand gestures.
No deep shit. I don't have a uterus. I can't get
uterus.
Pregnant. So yeah, they go in, they chop everything down like liver. And then, okay. You don't have to get so nasty.
I don't have a uterus.
Or ovaries.
Yeah, that's what happens when the Red Room gives you an involuntary hysterectomy. They kind of just go in and they rip out all of your reproductive organs. They just get right in there and they chop them all away. Everything
okay,
out.
Okay.
So you can't
okay,
have babies.
Okay, you don't have to get so clinical and nasty.
Oh, well, I was about to talk about fallopian tubes, but okay.
The look on David Harbour's face. Again, they sell it so well. Because they're both, like, at first, when I was rewatching that part, I was like, dude, David is peak. He's peak in the scene. Because you feel, you
because
oh,
I felt
like,
it,
like,
too.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, they just let her keep going
they
and explaining it. And he's like, he's horrified.
Exactly.
He's like, oh, my God.
And the way that Natasha has just completely compartmentalized herself from the situation. She's looking out the window and just been like,
well, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and our ovaries. And then she just like, that's all she says is and our ovaries. And then just Yelena just going for it. She's like, they just reach up and then they chop it up and they just cut it out, pull it out. And the look of horror.
Okay. You don't have to get
so nasty.
So descriptive.
Yeah, and he's like, his hands, it's so good. They're just all so good together.
Love
it. So absolutely love their dynamic in the films. And yeah, you know, like as cool as they are in the comics and as put together as they are, I do love the chaos of the MCU version.
Yeah.
And again, you know, Big Papa vibes. So she says her daddy and the mac and cheese is good for her. Like, that's one of my favorite lines in Hawkeye. Because then you're like, she's talking about Alexi.
Yeah.
So it's great. So they're still around. They still have some connection. So I want a mac and cheese cameo in Thunderbolts.
Mac and cheese
cameo. Yes. It's Alexi instead.
It's probably all she eats.
I bet you, right? Yeah. And so as for affiliations, so Yelena is the only one we're going to keep in this particular section. But as for affiliations, there is one team that stands out when it comes to Alexi's canonical origins. And that's with the modern day Thunderbolts.
Interesting.
Ding, 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 ding. Keyword. So the team in the comics consists of, this is a mind-blowing one if you don't know the comics. Sharon Carter.
Wow.
A.K.A. Destroyer. That is her official title in the comics.
Well, she's on the wrong side of the law now. So.
Yeah, right. Red Guardian, White Widow, Black Widow, Game Master, U.S. Agent.
Nice.
Bucky Barnes.
That should be fun.
And last but not least, a life model decoy of Contessa Valentina Allegretti.
That's funny.
Fontaine.
So is she dead?
No, but it's funny because I think I wrote this somewhere else, but they think it's Val. They think it's her.
Mm.
And then at the end of, I think, the first issue, they're in the forest. I think it's Buck and Sharon Carter, and they're like running. They're fighting other spies.
Yeah.
And like Val's like, hold on. And her literally, a split goes down her face and it opens up and a cannon comes out. And it just like lasers these like people out of the sky.
Oh my god.
And then it just goes,
oh my gosh.
And then Bucky's like,
what was that?
Did you know she could do that? it's so good. But yeah, so it's a life model decoy. It's an LMD of Contessa.
Wow.
Not the real thing. So there is no counterpart of Thunderbolts at this current time, but
yet
again, a year from today of this recording, May 2nd, 2025, to be exact, we will have a Thunderbolts team. So we'll see how this one measures up the MCU. And before we move on to love interest, I didn't know exactly where to put this, but just worth noting, Alexi was also, at one point, Ronin. So,
jeez.
Same costume.
My God.
Same one as Hawkeye.
Wow.
Yeah. exact same one. He didn't wear the cowl, I think, but he had the sort of Japanese obi.
Got it.
Yeah, he had that golden black look. It was pretty cool, but you know, I like him more as Red the Guardian. Love interest. Here we go.
Lay it on us.
But again, we covered a majority of this first one here, Natalia Romanova, aka Black Widow.
Ooh.
Everything we mentioned at the top of the show, they actually indeed have had an arranged marriage.
Of course. His
death was faked.
Of course.
He reemerged as Red Guardian. He fake died again, and then he emerges again. So you get the idea. Don't have to say it again. Very different from the MCU version, where she is portrayed by the lovely Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow, portrayed by Scarlett Johansson. We will never see her again. She is gone. Right.
Dead!
She's dead. I kind of, just a quick gripe. When everyone was looking back and being like, oh my God, it's been so long since Endgame. Oh, Endgame. Poor Natasha. I was like, Gamora died first.
It's true.
Guys.
It's true.
She was thrown off. Nat had a choice. She was thrown. I'll be mad about that to the end of my day because everyone acts like Gamora didn't freaking get killed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, rip, Natasha. I was like, no.
It's true.
No.
No, you're totally completely validated.
Back. But she's not coming back. No. At least we don't think so. Who knows?
One of them came back. Gamora did, baby.
That's also true. Got that going for me.
Yeah.
So first scene in 2010's Iron Man 2. I liked that look. I'm just gonna go against the grain.
It was the curly like hair
spaghetti
look.
Spaghetti hair, they call it.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Which I still don't know if it was a wig or not, but whatever.
I feel like it was. I'll say it was.
I feel like it was, yeah. I liked that look. And of course, like topic allows, last scene in 2021's Black Widow.
Wow.
So she served 11 years.
That's good.
Worth of films.
Yeah. Love that.
Pretty great.
OG six.
Yeah. And so again, clearly not the same dynamic. He is her papa. Papa. Smelly papa.
Papa.
So I wonder what we'll hear of Alexei in terms of Natasha giving her life for the world.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll see some, and maybe we'll get some flashbacks. I don't know. And then on the other side of the spectrum, there is Milena Vostokova, aka the Iron Maiden.
The band?
And so we talked very briefly about Milena in both the Natasha and Yelena episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to those if you have not. But yeah, very quickly, Milena in the comic books was an agent for the Russian government and, much like Yelena, lived in the shadow of the legendary Black Widow, aka Natasha Romanoff. And she, in the comics, developed bitterness and resentment toward Natasha, and she became a mercenary, which gave her her very cool moniker, aka Iron Maiden. And, you know, there are no defining connection between Alexei and Milena in the comic books.
Oh, wow.
At all. They don't really cross over. They probably have some, I would imagine they have at least one or two interactions. Maybe that's even saying too much.
Yeah.
Just because they're both Russian. So they might be.
I wonder how like these screen, now I'm thinking like, wow, I'm reading this, especially a lot, some episodes, like,
yeah.
How do they get the idea to be like, ah.
Yeah.
Like, this is their comic book like origin.
Yeah.
For the movie, let's do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Like, because right. Obviously if you're just knowing this lore, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Obviously the Red Guardian is a love interest with Black Widow.
Right.
So what gives you the idea to be like, you know what? Let's make them like a fake family.
Yeah. Right.
Like.
Exactly.
Like is Feige like, I wonder if Feige's like, that's a stupid idea.
I know.
Or if he's like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's try that out.
Right. Like how simple is it that they just kind of.
Yeah.
They have a sheet of paper.
A pool of names.
A pool of names of characters that Natasha Romanoff has in her universe.
Inner circle, yeah.
They just put them all in a hat and they just go.
It's like
okay, what can we do with Milena?
It's like playing Mad Lib.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Can you imagine? And it's the Charlie Day meme. Like, okay, well, if we have this and we have this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What we know it worked in Winter Soldier. Spies.
Yeah, yeah.
Spies, okay. What if we made it funny? What if we took a little bit of you know, what do you call it? Mission Impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of 007.
And then, ooh, a family dynamic. What about that?
Spy Kids.
We haven't had that that much, really.
Right. All these elements and put them into one.
Yeah.
And then
they're like, that blows my mind.
We need names and faces. Great. Milena.
Yeah.
Great. Milena and Alexei. fake mom and dad. Cool.
Yeah.
And then completely changed the narrative. And so I think she just came back into the fold, but I think she's still sort of a bad guy for the most part.
Uh-huh.
But that's what makes it so much more interesting. And speaking of the MCU version, Milena Volstokov, portrayed by Rachel Weisz, first seen in 2021's Black Widow, last quote-unquote seen in 2023's What If Season 2.
Yes.
Right. And so that's what I think is so interesting, that they then gave us this like sort of familiar but alternative version of her.
Yeah.
Where you see her specifically in the episode, What If ... Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper.
Mm-hmm. Steve.
So it was cool because it was Rachel Weisz as well. So not only is the likeness there, but the voice actor is there. And yeah, it's not quite the version that we expected, like we saw and were introduced to in the films. So I feel like that one is actually more on par with maybe the comic book version a little bit, because she's pretty evil.
Yeah, she's bad.
She was bad.
She's not great.
She's not great.
Not a hero, I would say.
Yeah, not a nice mama. but yeah, so again, we've more or less discussed these two. But yeah, so how much of the chemistry between Milena and Alexei do you think is real?
I'm going to go 60-40.
Yeah?
60%
is
fake.
Fake?
I don't know. It could be 50.
She named a pig after him.
I mean, she has to show some empathy. Yeah. But I don't know. Because it's kind of like, she seems like one of those people, especially in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
This is what, you know.
That is very valid. Yeah.
You know?
I think he was 60-40.
Love.
Maybe 75.
Like 60 real.
He actually was in love with her. And then she's the flip version. Because yes, again, he has a tattoo of her over his heart. In the prison. So this is after they've gone away.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, the way he comes on to her at all times during the family dinner scene.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you look, it's like nothing. No years have gone by. And you look exactly, all your skin
like,
is glistening.
Like, oh my God, come here. Yeah. Look at us, a family again.
Yeah. Just like old times. Yeah, like he's really like, almost trying to shoot his shot.
Yeah.
With the older version of his fake wife. But yeah, I don't know. Again, I hope that we get something. I really love, again, I'm all about the street level and I love the spy stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see her. I'd love to see the two of them interact again and maybe get some answers to whether or not it is real or not. From there. So notable adversaries. I kept it very, very minor here because, again, we've only seen Red Guardian in one film. So we have yet to see the full breadth of who he's going to go against on screen. So I kept it to the ones that we do mention in the origin story as well as in Black Widow. So first up, Wai Ling. This is the communist commander. So no need for a repeat, but it is worth saying there is no MCU counterpart. Don't even go looking. So he has not made any sort of significant appearance.
Yeah.
But someone who has, of course, near and dear to our hearts is Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Steve!
So in the comics, aside the classic Avengers tales, I don't believe that these two cross over much thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, the story is more closely aligning Alexei with the spy type sort. So he's more, again, more undercover, more Russian all around. And so Cap, of course, is the good guy, hero, Avengers, New York, all that good stuff.
New York.
They just have different lives.
Yeah.
But you know, again, you know, as I mentioned up top, after Alexei's somewhat heroic efforts during their initial meeting, Steve then actually feels pretty indebted to Red Guardian for saving his life. I think it's issue 44, like the aftermath of it. Like the first or second page is like quite literally Steve like in the jet or whatever, the hangar of the Avengers Mansion, whatever it was. And he's just like, I can't believe he saved my life. Like, you know, he's like thinking about it like, oh my God, maybe I was wrong. Oh, Psychotron.
The Psychotron.
And so, whereas, of course, Steve Rogers, Captain America, portrayed by the lovely Chris Evans. First seen 2011's Captain America, the first Avenger, last seen in 2019's Avengers Endgame. solid 8 years. 8 years only?
What? Really?
Was he... Yeah, First Avenger was his first appearance, no?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Correct. Wait.
Correct.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Did I misstate that? Captain America, First Avenger, 2011.
Yeah.
Why does that feel so much later than I thought
it was? I mean, hey, look, 8 years is still a long time.
It is very true. So it's a solid 8 years from dear Mr. Evans. Lest we forget, we have seen Steve more recently in What If Season 2, or even X-Men 97, which, by the way, folks, both are voiced by Josh Keaton. Both. So Steve in What If, same voice actor as Steve.
X-Men 97.
Which, by the way, Josh Keaton has voiced, like, Peter Parker.
Yeah.
He's voiced, like, Hawkeye.
Yeah.
He's a goat.
Hey,
he's,
man,
a Marvel goat.
He's in there.
That's so crazy to me.
Sorry, Ro. Gotta do this by the book.
Yeah. Damn you, Kip. Damn you. But it blew my mind. I was like, oh my God. He did both. The fact that he's doing both. Amazing. Good for him.
Jeez.
Get that money, man. There's not a day I don't regret not just going straight in to voice acting.
I should have just tried voice acting.
It's great.
Gosh.
It's so fun. Dude, I was making $60 an hour at my peak. And like half of that is just like... Can you laugh? Can you laugh again? Boom, $60. Damn. Never too late. Never too late, friend.
I feel like I would have to go to like a vocal coach or something.
Mm. Well, just for quality, yeah.
I don't even know, like, how, like, do you just, like, go and try to, like, get jobs?
Yeah.
I don't, like, just...
Yeah. It's, like, networking. It's networking, fully, 100%. I did one thing, and I got, like, referred to many other things. So,
oh, my gosh.
You just gotta go. I know, maybe I'll just give up everything and just be like, I'm gonna do this again. Just, like, go for it.
Catch me doing medical commercials.
Yeah, I know,
right? Doing voiceovers.
So good. When it comes to Cap and Red Guardian, the big thing with this particular adversary in the MCU is the obvious fact that the timeline does not add up.
Mm.
So this I thought was pretty fun. Steve Rogers of the MCU was thawed in 2011.
Yes.
Whereas Alexei recollects fighting Captain America in the 80s. So this introduces the debate. Was he lying? Which could be absolutely true.
Yeah.
For Alexei. Or did he indeed go toe-to-toe with another super soldier, perhaps even Isaiah Bradley,
yeah,
who was indeed active in the 80s as Captain America, as he refers in Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Mm.
I mean...
Interesting.
One man is black, one is white. There's an obvious difference there.
Yeah.
But again, this is a lot.
Maybe just Captain America. It's all you know.
Because he never says anything. He's just Captain America.
Ugh.
Captain America. Captain America. So he never says anything.
I mean, yeah.
He's just so spurned by the concept that is Captain America.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to identify anything else. So,
and I've heard rumblings of Isaiah Bradley's character.
Same.
For the new Cap.
New world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we could see Alexei in Cap 4.
Ugh, Captain America.
Captain America. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I was like, ooh, I would love.
Yeah. Because maybe he's just like, it'd be even crazier. Obviously, probably won't happen. It's like, what if he saw like Steve Rogers and he was just like, you're not Captain America.
Yeah.
Like,
can you imagine?
I didn't fight you.
Like, who are you?
Get out of here, pipsqueak.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I could totally see that happening. Or, adversely, he sees Sam Wilson, and he's like, oh, it's my old adversary, Captain America. You know what I mean?
That would be... Sam would be like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Or just like a good old Gamora. Huh? Like, what?
Me?
Yeah, exactly. That would be amazing.
That would be
great. Oh, it'd be so fun. So aside Alexei's tall tales, we never see these two on screen together in any iteration. So we'll see how this pans out. But somebody we do kind of see on screen In the comic books, his name is Mikhail Russus, or known as Ursa Major. So in the comics, Ursa is very much a capital M mutant who can transform into a literal bear within 10 seconds.
A bear?
A bear.
Only a bear.
A bear. He is a bear. He turns into a bear.
A bear.
A big, I think he's,
that's funny.
I think he's a brown bear, but he might be a black bear. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Whichever is more deadly. I'm pretty sure that's what he does. So while Ursa and Red Guardian overlap in modern age books, specifically Winter Guard, it's not Alexei's version of Red Guardian. So no correlation there. But in the film, Ursa Major is indeed portrayed by Olivier Richter's in Black Widow 2021. So not much to say here, but he is a great Easter egg for those who know. So I know you saw this, Jeff, because I think we talked about it in one of our episodes. But yeah, so he's known as Big Bear. So I think they credited him as Big Bear, if not Ursa Major, in the credits. But he is the biggest guy that Alexei.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, arm wrestles in that scene, the prison scene, and as my note states, he got his arm broke for talking smack, and he just went broke his arm. But that's all we see, and so people. I remember seeing the conversations on social, like people are like, oh, is he the first mutant technically in the MCU? And it's like, well, no, because it's not like he changed into a bear on screen or anything.
Yeah. I would be insane. Yeah.
Just like, the fist hits the table and just turns into a bear. No, didn't happen, guys. So we don't know if Ursa Major is a mutant or if he's even going to be brought back to show he is a mutant. But he was in Black Widow. And so last but not least, as far as the adversaries go, this one has no comic book counterpart, and we've talked about him in a couple of episodes, once again in both Black Widow episodes. General Ivan Drakov, portrayed by Ray Winstone, first and last seen in 2021's Black Widow. So, again, an original character for the MCU, Drakov was a high-ranking officer in the Soviet Armed Forces and the overseer for the Red Room. And although he used Alexei as an undercover super soldier agent, he ultimately betrayed him before imprisoning him. Pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
They don't really expand on their relationship at all.
Yeah.
They just have that one conversation in Cuba. Done. And, he's constantly chasing him in the actual Red Room when they're up in the sky.
Yep. But
Natasha is more or less the person going after Drakov. So, yeah, not much to say there. But by proxy, Antonio Drakov, a.k.a. Taskmaster, was sicked on Red Guardian for simply getting in the way.
Yep, pretty much.
So, very quickly, Antonia, portrayed by Olga Kurylenko. God, I thought I had this down.
Kurylenko.
She's fantastic. She's coming back for Thunderbolts. And of course, Antonia, portrayed by Ryan Keir Armstrong as a child, and Andy Lister was the Taskmaster suit itself. Yeah, so they don't have direct correlation. It's more of a Drakov thing. Neat, as a pin, and done. So when it comes to other versions and in other media, I only wanted to focus on one in particular, which is the animated versions. So like we mentioned above, Alexei is evidently appearing in season 3 of What If... alongside Bucky Barnes! And I put... Wow, they dropped that trailer a long time ago already, which is very...
It was true. Like right after... a week or two after the season 3 of What If or something,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's been a
or
while.
Or season 2 of What If, yeah.
Yeah, so Christmas.
Yeah.
They have not announced anything.
Like
so
that little teaser. They're like, oh, here, this is coming, by the
here's,
way.
Here's like 2.5 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, and then we're never going to show anything ever again.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, guys, where is the
That's
season?
Okay. It'll probably like, because it's probably a Marvel animation.
Yeah.
So, you gotta focus all on X-Men right now,
X-Men,
man. You can't just throw in something random.
X-Men,
unless it's Deadpool or Wolverine, but come on,
right.
You can't just.
So the minute that the marketing ends for Deadpool and Wolverine, I suspect it will be either and or Agatha or What If.
I forgot about Agatha, for being completely honest. Oh my God.
Exactly right. So it's kind of like, oh boy, they're getting to that part again, the point where they're bottlenecking. And it's like, who's going to make it out to marketing
first?
I
would kill to see those marketing calendars.
I know. I'm so curious. Can you imagine all the color coding on that baby? Oh, my God. Oh, oh my god.
So like, and it has to publish too.
Yeah.
You cannot miss a publish date.
Yeah, no.
I know you can. I know where that money is. All those SEOs, exactly. You're paying for these posts.
Yes, exactly.
These promoted posts
the
to get.
The billboard time.
No.
Jeff, what is that?
They got to push it. They got to push it to the feeds.
Yes. Yes, no.
You can't miss
it's
a
true.
Feed.
They cannot miss a marketing.
Our life depends on it. They're literally saving lives or not. They're literally.
So we've not seen anything regarding season 3 of What If. However, the trailer or the sneak peek that Jeff was just talking about also features Bill Foster, aka Giant Man.
Yes.
Voiced by Lawrence Fishburne.
I love that they're just getting these. They're getting like most of like the A-list actors back. Just to voice him.
Exactly. But also, Lawrence Fishburne portrayed him on screen in Ant-Man and the Wasp 2. Second one.
Quantum?
No, that's the 3.
2. Yes, so Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah. And so I always forget that he was playing Bill Foster. And I'm like, oh, yeah, duh. He's back again in this clip. And then Ranger Morales, the female ranger in the episode, or at least that footage, is voiced by America Ferrera. So,
oh wow, yeah.
Yeah. So whenever the heck we're actually gonna see that come out, I don't know. But I now with that in mind, I'm like, dude, if we don't get a Bucky Alexi thing in Thunderbolts, I'm gonna be like, what is the point of having him in this movie?
I mean they'll probably talk for a bit, but not much, probably interact for a bit.
I'm
but
like, how much of Winter Soldier are you gonna scrub out of Bucky Barnes? Like they just pretend.
Hey, maybe Sebastian Stan just has other projects, man. Maybe.
Oh my god.
And he was like, you know what? It's okay, make my role small.
I saw him in like he was pictured in New York. I was like, why aren't you in Georgia? Like looking at the tweet, like, why aren't you in Georgia? You look like Bucky. Why isn't Bucky in Georgia? What's happening?
I don't know where they're going to go with the Thunderbolts.
My Wanda voice starts coming out. My head tilts and I'm like, why aren't you in Georgia?
What do you know?
Yeah. That doesn't
I don't
seem
know.
Fair.
I wonder.
It
like,
doesn't seem fair.
I mean, they're all filming in studio, so the security's airtight.
Better be there.
So I'm glad that I don't know or haven't heard anything.
I'm dying. Oh, my characters are dying.
Or maybe he just dies.
Gonna die. I'm calling it now.
Him and Yelena are gonna have a little something. They're gonna have that connection. It's gonna be that typical start of a relationship, like what? Like whatever lady. Oh yeah. And she's gonna be like who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And they're gonna fall for each other. They're gonna like, you know, develop some sort of, and then boom, they gotta kill Bucky.
Yeah, he's gonna die.
And Yelena has to save him, and she can't.
And
he dies.
And he dies. And then she's like, I'm asexual forever. Like in the comics. Yeah.
I need to like, die. Whenever the movie comes out, I need to remind myself of what I've said. So if like, if it does happen, I'll be like, oh my God.
Called it. Yeah, exactly. On top of all that we just mentioned, Harbour is indeed joining Sebastian Stan in reprising his role for Red Guardian in What If. So that's going to be fun. It's funny because, you know, like when I first watched the clip, I was like, is that him? And he wasn't as growly because, of course, it is a younger version of Alexi. It seems like an 80s version of Alexi.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes total sense. But yeah, I mean, if that's all we get of the two of them, I guess I'll be fine with that. It's fine. That's fine. Whatever.
Die is never going to be satisfied. Yeah!
All my characters die.
So I think when was that a text? Oh yeah, it was you posted it on our socials. I was like, I was so excited about X-Men 97, and it's like, yeah, of course. And I was like, oh wow, they gave you Gambit and they killed him.
And then they killed him.
I was like, I'm so sorry.
Kevin Feige won't let me know joy. No, not at all.
No,
no joy.
No Winter Soldier widow.
No, I'm not getting any of it, man. It's like, damn, I had nothing.
No Stilt Man yet.
No Stilt Man.
No Team Red yet.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Bro,
but
I. When I was going to work, I think it was today, and you know, like all these the Coke advertisements are up.
Oh yeah.
And I was just like, I looked over and I was like, that's cool. Oh yeah. And then I looked at the poster in particular, and I was looking at the characters on the poster, and I was like, that's a close Team Red right there. It was like Electro, Deadpool, and Daredevil.
Mm.
And I was like, you're right there, guys. You're right there. You're right. You could do it. They won't do it. But we'll kind of get a Team Red when the Spider-Man cartoon, whenever that is, comes out. Because Charlie Cox is Daredevil in the cartoon.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. So, Deadpool and Wolverine better deliver.
We need a stilt man.
Stilt man!
Stilt man's at the top of the list.
If Netflix can put an Easter egg for stilt man...
I literally, even if it was like 5 seconds of like a villain on the street.
But that's the thing.
Like just instant.
His suit is literally in an episode of Daredevil or a few episodes of Daredevil or Defenders. And I'm like, he's right there. I just need to see it in action so I can be like,
even if he gets defeated in 5 seconds, we just got to see him.
I just want to see it because he's so dumb.
I just want to see it just. We built up all this build up for him.
Stilt man. So yeah. So previous to David Harbour in the animations, Red Guardian actually made an appearance in a popular cartoon called Marvel's Avengers Assemble as the Nikolai Krylenko version. So it's not the Lexi, but he was indeed in the series. However, my favorite fun fact about Red Guardian in Marvel's Avengers Assemble is that he was voiced by one of the goats. One of the goat of goats.
Which one?
Troy Baker.
Oh, wow.
A.K.A.
Literally Joel. Everybody.
Joel Miller and everybody. And, you know, of course, Bruce Banner in the Avengers game that everyone hated.
RIP.
Troy made him sexy. I didn't even lie. I was like, dang, dude, what's happening? But yes, so Troy Baker has also been Red Guardian in his own way. Just not Alexi. That's okay. So for Almost Was... Okay, so I did as much research as humanly possible. As far as I can tell, there was... I have no idea if anybody else actually auditioned for this role, but it does sound like... Kate Shortland knew she wanted David Harbour for the role from the start, anecdotally meeting with him for lunch and signing him on shortly after, to which David has expressed in interviews, I had no idea what was happening or going on. He had no idea.
Wow.
He's like, I'm just auditioning for this role.
He's like, I'm just vibing.
Cool. Got it. And then I pulled this hilarious quote from that same interview. And David was noted saying, then I went back and did some research and was like, oh, the comics are clearly all wrong.
Jeez.
Finally, the movie will correct them.
Said everyone so, ever, yeah.
Yeah, he went in with his full chest like, that's I'll funny. Show you who the that's Red so Guardian funny. Is. And of course, like I mentioned above, David contributed a lot of Alexi's lovable attributes, including his trying on the Red Guardian suit in the bathroom. So... it's likely that a lot of the parts that we love, that's just David Harbour being David Harbour and being fantastic at his job. So, future of the character in the MCU, do you have any legitimate predictions for where Alexi could go in Thunderbolts or even before Thunderbolts?
Thunderbolts? Honestly, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then during Thunderbolts, I mean, I don't know.
I know. Sky's the limit.
I don't know.
I would like to not see him die. But I have a feeling there is a good chance he could.
Sure.
But he's so good and he's a great character. The thing is the character. Is the character too compromised?
Yeah, like is this gonna be like a Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad style. Like, yeah, like is he gonna put himself in line for Yelena?
I just don't know the longevity of the character in the MCU.
Exactly. Same.
You know what I mean? Like it's like if you're gonna see the Red Guardian, it has to be that Yelena's popping up somewhere, or
right,
you know, just that's just like the tail of the trade, for being completely honest.
Yeah.
But he's not gonna get like his own movie, his own show, or anything. No. Like he's you know
a short. I could see a short, but I mean, even then, again,
he's the Phil Coulson, the Kobe Smulders.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Get us enough to care about him, which I think, you know, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then take him along for the ride.
Yeah.
You know, see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So.
No other thoughts. I've already expressed them all along the way. I would just, again, like to see a little post, you know, well, pre-present time stuff. I think would be really fun to see. And yeah, it will be interesting to see what David Harbour himself pops up looking like, because nobody knows if he's slimmed down for, you know, his usual look, or if he's a little fluffier, like, hey, you know, we'll see what version of Red Guardian we're going to be served, but all in due time. And so last but not least, suggested reading. So this is pretty cut and dry. Alexei really shines in modern ages, but I will suggest, once again, 1967's Avengers issues 42 through 44, or 41 through 44, if you want the full quote-unquote origin story for the character. But three titles that I particularly enjoyed have all happened in the last 4 years. The first one being 2020's Widowmakers. It's a one-shot comic, quick read, featuring Alexei and Yelena from a team, creative team, Devin Grayson, who, again, they created the modern, Yelena in general, like in all of the amazing stories that she's kind of stemmed from Black Widow onward. As well as my friend Michele Bandini. He's fantastic. Oh my God, driest humor in the world. He hates everybody, but he loves me. It's great. He's fantastic artwork on that book, as well as colorist Elisabetta Adiamico and Eric Arseniega. I think Elisabetta actually does some of the art as well, so I'll correct myself there. In addition to that, 2020's Black Widow, again, excellent series, all things Spy and Hawkeye from Kelly Thompson, incredible writer, as well as a familiar friend of mine, Elena Casagrande. She did that Yelena artwork that I have, that mm-hmm. original.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the explosions in the back. I love Elena. She's great. And then, of course, Rafael de la Tour and Jordi Belair on colors. Jordi Belair colored me in Batman. Thanks, Jordi. 2023's Thunderbolts, last but not least. So another person, I know at least one person from all of these comics. So Jackson Lansing, he has written many, I think they're mostly Bucky, but he's written a lot of Captain America stories, as well as especially Guardians of the Galaxy, which I absolutely love. And I got to meet him in Seattle this past fall. He's so fun. He's so great.
Yeah.
Great guy. So he wrote the most modern version of Thunderbolts, along with a team consisting of Colin Kelly, Gerald Borge, and Arthur Hesley. And that's the one where Val's face opens up and there's a gun.
Jeez.
Honestly, that's the coolest thing you'll see lately. And with that all said, that is the end of the show. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you really much.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Yes. So, next episode, the season finale of X-Men 97 is upon us. And with that, we're going to discuss the series in full.
Woo!
Oh, it's going to be so cool. I can't wait. So if you haven't caught up yet, now's a great time ahead of these last two episodes, folks. Let us just say. If not, they will be available come, what, May 15th or whatever date it is.
Yep.
So better get on it.
Yep.
And we'll see you back here to talk all things about it, start to finish. But before long, of course, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. If you haven't joined yet, you can join for as little as a dollar. It helps us a lot.
Yeah.
We do this all out of the kindness of our hearts, and it costs a lot of money. Surprisingly enough. But yeah, thank you so much to our supporters, and a special We're Groot salute to Sherry, Andrew, Eve, Tyler, Nats, Ed, Andrea, Ashley, Katie, Joe, Liz, Edgar, Jenny, Chris, Ariel, Melanie, Laura, and Robin. Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe. We've got so many great reviews and ratings on Apple.
Please.
As well as Spotify. Bros and dudettes, let's just go. Like, please, yes. Hit that 5-star.
Leave them.
Hit it.
Leave them. Say it. Something nice, please.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
And we love you very much.
Yes, we do.
Once again, thank you guys for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Psychotron.
Natasha, come here. I want to ask you something. Come, it's important.
Did he talk to you about me?
What?
Did he talk to you about me? You know, trading more stories.
Who? What are you talking about?
Captain America. My great adversary in this theater of geopolitical conflict. Not so much a nemesis, more like a contemporary, you know, co-equal. I always thought there was a great deal of mutual respect.
But you haven't seen either one of us in 20 years, and you're going to ask me about you?